Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 329, recorded November 27th, 2011. Stay away from the business ads. This Week in Tech is brought to you by the Epson Workforce Pro, the world's fastest two-sided printer, delivering high-speed two-sided color printing, copying, scanning, and faxing to keep your business running at full speed. Plus, you'll save on ink. Check out the Epson Workforce Pro this holiday season at Epson.com. And by GoToMyPC. The holidays, bad weather, and sick days can keep you out of the office, but not from getting work done. Visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 45-day trial. Use the promo code TWIT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get two free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. This is TWiT, time to talk tech, the week's tech news, with people who follow it religiously when they're not playing Skyrim. Joining me right now, to my left, Mr. Dwight Silverman from the Houston Chronicle tech blog, blog.cron.com/tech blog, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's on there on the screen. I just had to read it. Yes, he's also at Dwight Silverman. Do you ever use Google Plus?
Yeah, I dive in occasionally. I've been doing this experiment while I post the same kind of question or link to Facebook and Google Plus and Twitter and kind of see what the differences are. It's been really interesting. It's a really interesting experiment. I don't know how much longer I'll do it, but Google Plus kind of is less relevant these days, I think.
Used to be very relevant, but I've always seen the most engagement on Facebook, right?
Well, you get a lot of engagement on Facebook. Discussions have a little more depth on Google Plus,
right.
But the problem is it's not a lot of normals there, and it's a lot of techies and geeks and people who get really
about
obsessive
normals?
About this.
I don't care about normals. You care about normals?
I work for a newspaper. I have to care about
that. That's why TWiT has never catered to the normal. We've only catered
here I get the opportunity to kind of, you know, exercise my geekiness.
Also,
I do geeky on the blog too.
Also non-normal, but they seem normal, but that don't be deceived. Natalie Delcati Morris joining us from their mountain chateau.
No.
Their area.
No, I'm not in the mountains.
Are you in the city?
No, we're in New Jersey.
Technology contributor to CNBC. Is that new? You left CNET.
Yeah, it's relatively new.
You left CNET and you were doing your own thing, but you've decided to take a job.
I decided to take a real job, as they say. But I'm freelancing for CNBC.
Oh, good.
As their technology person. Yeah, joining the ranks of John Fort, who is, you know, their full-time technology guy.
Always great to see you, and all the best. And congratulations to you and Clayton.
Thank you. Yes, I'm with child.
Yay.
Child number two.
How old is Miles now? He's a year and a half?
He's about a year and a half. Yeah. He's 16 months, so they'll be just under two. And then I figure I might as well have another baby before I talk myself out of it.
Get it out of the way. Quick, quick, quick.
Yeah.
You'll still
One
be
more. No more out
You'll
of
still be young and vital and you'll be ready to go.
Thank you for saying that.
Yes.
Doesn't feel that way.
I know.
I'm glad that you're the expression.
I know. Anyway, great to see you again. Also joining us, Veronica Belmont, host of not only Techzilla on Revision 3, not only The Sword and Laser, but our new show Game On, which will debut next month on the TWiT.
Yay!
Actually, January, not next month.
January 15th.
Yay! About
Yay. I'm so super excited.
Great to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me on the show.
On the eve of your trip to Costa Rica.
Costa Rican.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm excited. Next Saturday, though.
All right.
Got another week to go.
Glad
week
you
left
could
of
be
work.
Here.
Glad you could be here. So thank you, Dwight, for filling up, because, you know, this has not been a big week in news. In fact, Tom Merritt, you know, normally does the week ahead for us every week. He said, there's nothing coming up. It's going to be, we're getting into the slow, silly season as we approach the end of the year. But there have been a few things. I guess the big story was Chairman Jenikowski of the FCC deciding that the AT&T T-Mobile merger wasn't going to make it. He asked for an administrative hearing, which is essentially the FCC's way of saying, So AT&T pulled back their FCC application. They said, well, we're going to deal with the Department of Justice first. They're also investigating. See if we can get it through there. Maybe we'll go to the FCC. But I think we're getting a hint that this thing may be off, the AT&T T-Mobile merger, because AT&T has taken a $4 billion write-off. That's the $3 billion cancellation fee that they owe T-Mobile, plus $1 billion in spectrum. I think it's all over. Dwight, are you shocked?
No, I'm not shocked. Well, actually,
I'm shocked. I thought the government. I thought our government would never say no to anything. Yeah.
Right. And in this case, you know, they jumped in and said, but the Justice Department said, well, no, we're going to try to stop this. The FCC's action was, you know, largely administrative, but it would serve at the very least to further delay it. And I think AT&T has got to see the writing on the wall. What's interesting is there's this other kind of side story that appeared at the same time that the FCC story did about them offering to sell off 40% of T-Mobile's assets, as much as that, in order to get it past the Justice Department. Hmm. So maybe they're in the process of negotiating with the Justice Department, don't want anything from the FCC to essentially mess with that deal. And then once they hoping they can get a settlement out of the Justice Department instead of a trial, and then go back and deal with the FCC.
Well, I explained it. I couldn't figure out why they withdrew it. But so the idea is to let's figure out if there is a deal here that we can make, that we can get approval, and then we can go back to the FCC.
If they have a settlement with the Justice Department, it makes a lot more sense for them to then go back to the FCC and say, "Hey, look, Justice Department approved," you know, and that helps their case, I think. If the Justice Department is still breathing down their necks, it doesn't make much sense to deal with the FCC.
Do you think that T-Mobile will survive as the number four cell phone company if this thing doesn't go through, Veronica?
No, I don't think they'll survive at all. And I, you know, I'm normally not a big fan of giant mergers like this, but at this point, there's just not enough spectrum to go around. The government isn't releasing enough spectrum. And so combining this might be the only thing that gives customers, you know, better access and will save T-Mobile in the end.
Is it the case that the fear is that if T-Mobile and AT&T merge, then Sprint is a sitting duck, that's going to go away, and then you'll basically have two cell carriers in the U.S., and that's really not competition?
I know. I think Sprint could definitely be one of the casualties of this situation if it happens, but they need to kind of step it up and work on some of their issues as well, and I don't know. It's definitely a huge situation going on right now.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
I'm very curious to see how it's going to end up because, I mean, everyone's been having problems with AT&T for years now. And I think that combining the two will definitely make the situation better for customers. But there is a lot of that monopoly situation going on also.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Natalie? Are you a T-Mobile customer? I am. I have a T-Mobile phone. In fact, I just ordered.
But, you know, I do.
Go ahead.
I do have a lot of empathy for T-Mobile, though, because this has put them in a holding pattern since March.
Right.
They can't really go out and make negotiations to get the iPhone, which would be good for them if and when the deal dies. They can't go to new tablets, new Android phones. They basically are stuck waiting and crossing their fingers. So, you know, they're kind of hosed.
That's, I guess, why the $3 billion cancellation fee, to kind of compensate them for, you're right, this is a very horrible waiting period.
Which the New York Times points out. The New York Times points out will probably not even cover what their actual losses are. I mean, this is high-end economics. This is an opportunity cost that you can't even really calculate. It's worth certainly more than $3 billion.
Look, Sprint spent basically $20 billion to get the iPhone. That'll give you some idea of how big a deal not having the iPhone is.
Also, T-Mobile has probably put aside a lot of the other deals and contracts that they could have made in this period in order to work on this deal with AT&T. So anything that they could have done to improve their situation has been also put on hold.
Yeah.
So Leo, you had suggested and Veronica agreed that T-Mobile can't survive. How does T-Mobile die? What happens? Do they get absorbed by somebody smaller? Do we see Sprint and T-Mobile merging? Although that would be awkward technologically. I mean, what's the end game for T-Mobile if this doesn't happen?
It could even be bankruptcy, right, Dwight? I mean, they could actually just go out of business.
Well, there's all that spectrum that they have that AT&T wants, and
You have a fire sale.
Right.
Remember, they're owned by Deutsche Telekom, a big company that is not going out of business.
Well, this New York Times article says that if Deutsche Telekom if they don't go through with this merger, then they're going to cease all business in the United States.
Right.
And that they would probably spin off the unit as an independent entity and sell it at a less attractive price to someone like Sprint, for example, or sell it off in pieces, the little bits and pieces of the company.
That could
companies.
Be disinformation aimed at the Department of Justice, of course, because the reason this merger isn't going through is the Department of Justice says, oh, we'll lose these jobs. We'll lose competition. So what you say if you're Deutsche Telekom is you're going to lose it anyway. You might as well lose it in this way rather than where there's some benefit rather than lose it because we pull out. That's a big thing to pull out of.
Also, regarding the iPhone, isn't there a technological issue regarding the way Apple is building it that it's not just a matter of taking that chip that they have in it, the GSM/CDMA chip in it, and tuning it to T-Mobile. Wouldn't they have to have a different chip the way T-Mobile works, as I understand it?
Oh, I did not know that. Because of the frequencies?
See, I think that it's not that simple. It's just a matter of
that's why they didn't have it
this way. So that may be one reason why they don't have it.
I'm actually very curious about the notion that even maybe, this is really speculative, the idea of cell service is old hat and that we will eventually just kind of have Wi-Fi everywhere and then anybody can play without even having a carrier. That we all, it's VoIP everywhere. What about that? Is that crazy?
That would be great.
If you're Google or Apple, wouldn't you be interested in that?
Municipal wireless?
Not just Muni wireless. Partly Muni wireless, but there are two companies, to my knowledge, that are attempting to put Wi-Fi everywhere using satellite and other weird technologies. If you had if you had unlicensed internet access everywhere you went, you just use VoIP everywhere. You'd use T-Mobile has UMA. You just use that everywhere.
That was Steve Jobs' original idea, according to a story last week about.
That's what made me think about it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, isn't LightSquared one of the companies that's trying to do the LightSquared is the one, but they had problems too because their frequencies were infringing on GPS.
Right.
So there's a lot of technological issues, and then of course Google has been trying to get the fiber thing going in a lot of places, and also offer free municipal Wi-Fi in a few different cities. So it's kind of only a matter of time before that, you know, gets really kicked off in a lot of ways. I wish LightSquared would succeed because I think they've got great ideas, but it's unfortunate about the
They
didn't take the whole GPS thing into account when they were developing their technologies.
And you might be able to move frequencies a little bit. I've heard it's so hard to know what's going on technically. I've heard people say, "Oh, it isn't a problem." I've heard people say it is a problem. I've heard other companies want to come along and do something similar. I think that it's very possible that we just assume, the cell system is the way it works and it's the way it's going to continue to work. All of this may be moot if it all, don't you think companies like Apple and AT and Google would love to just say, the heck with you phone companies.
It's a broken system.
It's a
broken system. I mean, there's so many issues the frequencies and the pricing is just gouging customers at this point. I can't even believe how much you're paying for cell phone service these days. I mean, I think it's going to get to a point where consumers and companies like Google and Apple, for example, do exactly what you said. Just throw their hands up in the air and say, this isn't working for anyone at this point except for the telecoms. You know, this isn't working for anyone except for the cell providers. So then maybe we'll get a change.
So what was Steve Jobs thinking about, Dwight? And is it feasible? Is it something he could have done?
Well, I think, he was doing this in 2000, supposedly, according to
before the iPhone came out.
Right. It was before 2007. And of course, Wi-Fi, at that same time, you have to remember also that that was the period where there was a lot of discussion about municipal Wi-Fi on a grand scale. Remember Earthlink's attempts to be kind of the big dog in that hunt. They came into Houston and tried to set up citywide Wi-Fi here and kind of imploded here and otherwise.
Well, you know, who's fighting it tooth and nail. Verizon, Sprint, AT&T,
and Comcast. You know, Veronica, you mentioned the idea that it's broken, but the thing is that people are paying these prices. They're buying it.
We love our cell phones.
But all it's going to take is a better technology to come where we're like, okay, well, now we can have this clear call quality, you know, have easy access to all our data and make voice calls on the cheap. I mean, I've got at home, I have a phone that's my house line that runs on Google Voice.
Right.
And I don't pay anything for it.
Right.
And it's just getting that to the convenience level of using your cell phone to be the point for where everyone's like, okay, well, this is obviously a better situation.
Let me get this straight. So you don't have phone service in your house at all?
No.
You don't have an AT&T line in your house at all?
Mm-mm.
Wow. And so you use your internet access, but you don't use Vonage or some specialized VoIP. You just use Google Voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a phone that's Google Voice enabled, this Panasonic phone that we have. We did a whole segment on it.
I think that's the future.
The downside is it doesn't have 911.
Well, and if the power goes out or the internet goes out, you're screwed.
Right. Yeah.
And your cell phone.
But you have making allowances, like not having
Your cell phone is a backup, right?
Right, correct.
I think this is cord cutting for TV. It's the same thing. This is what people want to do. And this is directly in response to overpriced, crappy service from the phone companies and the cable companies. Of course, you can't kill both because you need your internet access from somebody.
Right, but what makes you think that Wi-Fi would not have these same problems structurally?
See, Wi-Fi has a lot of issues technologically. It's hard to be ubiquitous. It has a lot of interference issues. Wi-Fi's technology would have to change dramatically in order for it to be robust enough to serve in the way on a grand scale that Veronica is referring to. And
like,
you know,
like just
you
kind walls. Of, I mean, walls are in the way. You know, you can't have you can't have that.
I mean, I don't get cell phone service in my house either. I have to have a freaking microcell in my house in order to make phone calls on my cell phone. So, you know, we're already making allowances to get this kind of stuff to work in our homes. I don't see why just adding a couple of routers in your home anyway is going to make that much of a difference. Plus, broadband is becoming so much more easily accessible for people all over the country. And it can be, you know, provided by things like fiber, and you've got, you know, you just have to open the pipes a little bit and you can get a lot more access. I don't know. It seems like a much more viable future option than working with what the telecom providers are giving us now.
So we're going to take a break.
For a while, I thought that WiMAX would really be the solution and would just leapfrog WiMAX.
So do we all.
Because Wi-Fi is the weaker of the two, but that is also controlled by the mobile carrier. So it would just be structurally the same problem.
They're going to fight like hell to keep this from happening. We're going to take a break. Natalie Morris is here from CNBC. I like saying that. Great to have you. Veronica Belmont from Techzilla. Dwight Silverman from Houston's Chronicle. Did you see this story about the Chinese kid who couldn't afford an iPad? So he got all the pieces and he built a $145 iPad for his girlfriend. Touchscreen, battery. Cobbled together parts from an old laptop. It's running Windows 7, okay? But it looks a little bit like an iPad. It even has the Apple logos on it. Well, we have viewers who are equally intrepid. They wanted an iPad. They didn't have to build it from parts. They tweeted. And thanks to GoToMyPC, we have a winner. I'm going to tell you about this in just a second. But let me first tell you about GoToMyPC. With the holidays here, lots of travel ahead, bad weather, sick days. You don't want to be in the office. Last place you want to be. But you might need to still get work done. That's where GoToMyPC is so cool. I love this offer, this 45-day free offer. That's longer than we've ever offered before. Right now is a perfect time. You can sign up now and get right through into 2012 with GoToMyPC. What does it do? You put it on your office computer, Mac or PC, doesn't matter. It's very easy to install. You don't need help from the IT department or anything. It takes you 30 seconds to download. GoToMyPC.com. I'll tell you the offer code so you can get it free in a second. And then, wherever you go, you can access that computer. You can send and receive email, run any programs, access any network, just like you're there, even on an iPad. And the iPad app is free. This is really, really cool. Of course, you can do it with a laptop. There's a lot of devices you can use to access your office anytime you need to. It's just a click away. Now, for the holidays, we've got an extended offer, 45 days free. All you do is go to the website. Go to mypc.com, and the offer code is TWIT. So click that try it free button and use the offer code TWIT, and you'll get it free for 45 days. Now, I have our wiener. So 2 weeks ago, we said we had our Away for the Holidays giveaway, a free iPad 2 to somebody. We asked people to tweet us, tell us where they're going for the holidays. Polly Alita said, with an iPad 2 and go to my PC, she could work while basking in the glow of the Christmas tree. Conrad Ferrugia said he would be able to work remotely while visiting his sister in Detroit. Santivi Santiago Vargas said he would work from the iPad 2 while sharing the holidays with his family. Newfers at Newfers said his computer is downstairs. His iPad 2 would be upstairs. And he wouldn't have to go up and down the stairs. But none of them won the winner. And it was randomly selected by our friends at GoToMyPC from all of the tweets received. Are you ready? I love her handle. Cougars 1969. Perhaps her high school football team. Jessica Lure. She said she would go. She's going to Miami on vacation. She'd use it to access her work computer from Miami. Congratulations, Jessica Lure. You're the winner of a new iPad 2 thanks to Citrix and GoToMyPC. Citrix will be in touch with you at your Twitter handle. And thanks to all of you for participating. Cougars 1969. Oh, you think it's the car? It's a cougar? Or is she a cougar herself? I don't know. Anyway, Jessica, congratulations. And thanks for playing our little game with us. We'll do that again. It's fun. I love giving away iPads. And thanks to GoToMyPC. GoToMyPC.com. 45 days free when you use the offer code TWIT. Did you guys go Black Friday? Did anybody get in line at Walmart at 4 in the morning?
I was up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, with your baby, Miles.
Well, Miles actually, no, with my husband. Clayton gets up at 3:30 to do Fox and Friends.
Oh, my gosh.
Since he was already up and I'm pregnant, you don't really sleep great when you're pregnant. And we had my in-laws here, so I had a babysitter. So he got up at 3:30 and I was like, I'm awake. Maybe I should just go. Maybe I'm going to.
Did you go?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I got in my car and went in my pajamas.
It's quite a scene, isn't it? I've never gone.
It was dead because the stores were open at midnight.
Oh.
And so they had been open for 5 hours. So there was no one left. And they're like, no flat screen TVs. And I was like, that's all right. And I ended up just buying 409.
But your house is clean.
It's true.
There were some fist fights.
I didn't even have the chance.
There was nobody there.
Elbow people, you know. I mean, you really want to play the pregnancy card when you can. So I thought that maybe if there was a line.
But you're not even showing. Are you showing?
A little. They just thought
she's chubby. So you're not pregnant, you're chubby.
She went too heavy on the turkey.
Porter Ranch Walmart, Los Angeles, California. 2 minutes before it opened, a mother of two used a can of pepper spray to attack other shoppers waiting in line. She was trying to get the $100 discounted price on an Xbox 360. She had her children with her. She began spraying customers as soon as the store employees started pulling back the packing plastic off the discounted items. Once the doors opened, the woman also used the pepper spray to gain a favorable position.
This is disgusting.
Somebody tweeted during this. Of course, it was on Twitter, right? People are screaming. The LAPD and firefighters responded, treated 20 injured customers. The woman fled the store, unclear whether she got the Xbox.
No, oh my God.
That's the best line. So did they arrest her?
The police?
No, they didn't find her at first. They were looking at surveillance footage to try to figure out who she was. So people in the chat room are saying she turned herself in later, but I didn't see that in the story.
Unbelievable. It's just really... Police had to use a stun gun on a shopper because he was getting in fights with other customers over merchandise. In Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, two customers suffered injuries during an armed robbery attempt. It's crazy. And by the way, Kara Swisher, who was here last week, said, I've been covering retail for years. The biggest shopping day of the year is not Black Friday. It's the last Saturday before Christmas, always has been.
Right.
That makes a lot more sense.
Somebody made this up. Day. They made it up. It's some.
And people get trampled to death, and people get pepper sprayed, and people get injured every single year. I don't understand. What is the cost benefit analysis to Black Friday? Like, are these stores actually making any money?
No, I blame Walmart.
Having these deals.
Blame Walmart. They're the ones that are creating this frenzy. Opening it, you know, midnight or 4 a.m. or whatever. The whole thing is ridiculous.
And you get some pissed off employees. This is my second time being there. And they don't want to be there. They look at you like they absolutely loathe
you. They blame you.
How dare you come here, make me get up at 3 a.m. to sell you some slippers for $2. Hate you. It's not the Christmas spirit.
So, anti-holiday spirit.
Brian Lamb did a post at the Wirecutter about when the real best days are to get deals, both online.
Well, I think the deals are very good. I mean, we are seeing good deals, right? I mean, these aren't
made up
deals.
Well, I don't know. You know, I was looking at them. For example, we have fries here like there are in a lot of other places, and I was looking at those deals, and they didn't look that much different from the deals you get at Fry's, you know, on any given, you know, weekend when they have their regular sales.
I mean, that Xbox deal was pretty good.
$100. So it
was
what?
A pretty good deal with a few games.
I think you wanted it.
Me?
Yeah.
I already have an Xbox.
Oh, all right. You can always have another. That way you can play Skyrim in all the rooms. Now, are you playing Skyrim on PC or Xbox?
PC.
Do you think that's a better experience?
Well, I think that Skyrim, you know, the consoles are just ports. I think it was meant for PC.
Actually, I think it's the other way around. I'm not sure, but somebody was telling me in the chat room that Bethesda developed for the Xbox first.
That's not my understanding, okay. But I guess that could be true.
You know what? This is something for Game On. You got to get the Bethesda. I have to say, even if you don't game, and I know Natalie's going, this is stupid. Even if you don't game, I am blown away by the amount of creativity and artistry. And for 100 people worked for 3 or 4 years on this game.
Mm-hmm.
And the textures, the landscape, the open environment, the music. This is unbelievable.
They did a whole video about the music of Skyrim. And there's the words that they sing in the Skyrim theme are actually words in the language that they've created. It's in the dragon language, and it's being sung by these monks, and it was like 30 guys, and they multiplied it by 3, so it sounds like 90 guys.
Yeah.
And it's just an unbelievable amount of work that they put into the audio and into the soundtrack, and it's definitely one of the most ambitious games that's been created in the past 10 years. Although, I you know, as good as it looks and as good as it feels, it doesn't seem that different to me, even with the new creation engine, than like Fallout New Vegas or Fallout 3 or
it's
even
Fallout like it's very because
it seems more like Fallout 3 to me almost than Oblivion in a lot of ways, especially with the critical kills and the little things they do for that, the close-up shots during the kills. It's very Fallout 3.
Motion.
But the voice acting, they improved all the NPC voice acting and close-up shots, so I appreciate that in a big way.
There's some good actors on this. In fact, right at the beginning, and I know they do this on purpose, right at the beginning, the one of the guards is that guy from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, Ty, Colonel Ty.
Ty,
right?
He has such a distinctive voice. You know, immediately it's Colonel Ty. It's like
he's in a lot of video games. He does a lot of voice acting work.
I love it, though.
For good reason.
Right.
Yeah.
He's distinctive. He's a good actor. Voice acting is usually pretty bad in these, so it's not a high bar to...
I don't know. The voice acting in Fallout New Vegas, Old World Blues, was pretty good.
You're way ahead of me. I do say so. You play far more games than I do, but I just have to say the depth of this game and how gorgeous it is really makes me think the video games have come of age as a creative pursuit.
They're an art form. Absolutely.
They're absolutely an art form.
Mm-hmm. We've derailed. So, I apologize.
So Veronica,
I happen to know that the Black Friday deal was $10 off of Skyrim at Target.
See, so $50 instead of $60, big deal.
That's kind of a big deal.
That's a hot game, though.
Yeah.
So Veronica,
the percentage, I could do that in my head quickly.
Yeah, it's a good percentage. It's 1/6. 1/6. What is that, 13%? I don't know.
Yeah. So Veronica, a question about voice acting, because you've done some. Why do you think voice acting in games is just usually really bad? I mean, why should it be different from, say, cartoons?
I think the main reason is, one, because they, until recently, they haven't hired a good number of voice actors for each game. So it's usually been a handful of actors doing multiple parts. So I think in Oblivion, for example, they had, there were like...
60. I think they said 60 voice actors.
No, I think actually in Skyrim, there were 70 Skyrim. Voice actors, okay. But there were like twice that many parts, or maybe three times that many parts. So it worked out better than it did in Oblivion, where there were fewer voice actors for more parts. So now they're getting a lot more, what's the word? A lot of different voice actors
variety.
Doing different parts. Variety. Thank you. I couldn't think of that word for some reason.
Variety.
There's a lot more variety. They have a little more time to get it all done. Usually games are a lot more rushed. They're not doing that quick cycle that they used to in a lot of... Like, they've been working on this game for many, many years now. Yeah. So they've had a little bit more time to kind of really fine-tune the voice acting and the sound creation that they've done. There was another reason, too. I mean, also... voice acting looks bad because the AI the lip sync with the characters never looked as good as it does now. So there's a lot of reasons, both technologically and economically, that this is getting easier and better.
It's, you know, radio acting used to be. Remember Dwight, when radio...
I'm not that old.
Radio acting used to be really bad. It was very broad. And I think that that's a sign of a new medium. A little bit. And I think voice acting is tough. Cartoon is a little different because it's a character voice. I don't know. I think it's a hard thing to do.
Well, the same thing happens in cartoon acting. You have multiple people, one person doing multiple roles.
I agree.
But I think Veronica's right. I think it's rushed and it's quick. And my suspicion is that in the past it's been, this is just a game. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to bring my full game to the game, you know. And I think now people are taking it more seriously.
The level of immersion, too. I mean, people expect to be fully immersed in these virtual worlds at this point. And so to have bad voice acting, it really takes you out of that moment in a lot of ways. If you want it to be realistic, you want the voice acting to look right, to sound right, to feel like you're having a conversation with an actual person as opposed to just kind of set dialogue.
I don't want to get in a big, long discussion of video games. We will move on in a second, but I can't help it. one of the things that's changing this, in Oblivion, and this has to do with the voice acting, when you talk to an NPC, a non-player character, it would kind of zoom in their face, and you couldn't move around, look around. You had to watch them. Now, in this game, it's kind of wild. You can look around, and you can even walk away, and they'll still talk. And they'll drift off in the background as you walk away from them,
like,
which is intensely...
I'm bored hearing you talk.
It's intensely satisfying when somebody's going on and on. Just, yeah, I'm going to leave. And you walk away, and
see you later.
And they keep talking. It's pretty funny. And I think that it's things like that that make it feel like a more realistic experience. So even if the voice acting isn't better, which I think it is, but even that, it's just a more realistic overall experience. That helps that, I think, a little bit. You're not like focused in on the person and all that.
Game On, premiering January 15th.
Yeah, please. This is where we'll discuss all that stuff. But I think it is actually a news story. First of all, because it came out at the same time as Modern Warfare 3, so it was up against the biggest franchise in gaming, which in the first 24 hours sold $400 million worth of units. I mean, it was huge. It's going to be a $1 billion game. And I think Skyrim, although hotly awaited and everybody had high expectations for it, kind of stole Modern Warfare's thunder a little bit here.
It may be different audiences, too. Yeah. I definitely know people who, like at my house, for example, Ryan's been spending almost as much time playing Modern Warfare as I've been playing Skyrim. So it just goes to show, you know, if you're passionate about a game, you're going to put that effort into it. So I think that there is overlap for sure, but they are definitely different markets.
I'm just very intrigued by the artistry, the obvious, clear talent in story, in art, in acting that goes into a game like, in music that goes into a game like this is really mind-boggling. These are absolutely art forms, and I'm very excited as the technology advances. The problem is they're using now, a relatively ancient hardware on the Xbox and PlayStation 3. What is it, 5 years old now? Hardware on these things. And although I have to say the PC version is not, to me, much different than the Xbox I haven't seen the PlayStation 3 version, but they're very similar. The reason people ask me, why'd you like the Xbox better? And I've been playing it on both. I like to just watch it on a 50-inch display with or 60-inch display with my feet up. That's all.
See, I need to be in my lady den.
You like to be focused on the screen.
my lady cave, I call it. It's not a man cave. It's a lady cave. That's where I like to play.
You got to lean into a game.
Really?
You know, particularly one. Yeah, I think so. I think it's a lean-in experience. I don't think it's a lean-back.
No, I'll tell you why I like it. Because I darken the room. This game is scary. Stuff happens that you jump. There's a lot of emotion. Battles are hairy. It is a very, and I'm sure this is true of Modern Warfare 3, many games nowadays, really are emotional, which is, I think, a testament to the realism that's going into these games. And if it's in a dark room on a big screen, it's your heart really can really pound on these things. And it's very exciting. I have a cave. It's called a barrow. Anyway, it's my ghost cave. Online spending on Black Friday up by 24.3% over last year. Online, Thanksgiving Day was the big day. It was up 39.3%, I guess because stores started their deals early. Amazon's been offering deals all week long. Amazon Wireless, for instance, offering cell phones for a penny, everything but the iPhone for a penny. So I think if why wait in line? Go online and buy. Then no clerks will be discomfited. I'll talk about a baker.
No pepper spray, Shell.
No pepper spray. We'll talk about pepper spray. Know your meme. And a baker who's very sorry she did a Groupon deal in just a moment. But right now I want to talk about Epson. These are my – I was really happy when Epson said we were thinking about doing some advertising on Twitter. I said, let me tell you something. I have been – I even made a video. I have been – I just want to give you a tour of my house and my studio. Epson's everywhere. The printers – for photo printers, I use the big carriage 14x9-inch, 14x19-inch Epson. Beautiful photo printers. I've used the Epson Artisan at home for years. Epson projectors for business and the big movie projectors. I love Epson, and they've got a great printer now. And I was just thrilled to be able to talk about it. And now, but I have to question their strategy on this. They want to sell this printer for the holidays. The idea is that you will, okay, you've got, I'm going to read you this. Most of us have tech gadgets on our shopping list to give friends, family, and coworkers, plus new gadgets for our businesses. What? Do you have a shopping list for your business? I guess, you know what? That is true. It's not the holidays it's doing. It's the fiscal year. You want to spend this so you get the tax credit next year. Maybe that's what it is. So if you are spending for the holidays on your business, this is the printer you want. It's the Epson Workforce Pro. We got one for the office. Lisa immediately stole it. She's got it. And I liked it so much, I've actually gone out and I bought one for my house. And I'll tell you why. We had it. As I said, we had an artisan, but the kids print a lot. You know, when you're in school, you print a lot. And I really needed something that had a big paper reservoir, had a big ink reservoir, but mostly that could cut the costs of printing down. And this is an amazing printer, the Workforce Pro 4530. First of all, double-sided, which makes things look better. It looks more professional. It looks like a book. There's printing on both sides, and it saves paper. It's the fastest automatic double-sided printing anywhere. Copying, scanning, and faxing, too. I use it for the fax machine. Occasionally, you still need to send faxes. It has it comes with standard an extra paper tray for 580 sheets, more than a ream of paper. The cartridges are very big. In fact, the black and white cartridge goes for 2,500 pages. That's unheard of. And as a result, it is 50% less per page than a color laser. These guys have made an amazing printer. This is for your office. Before you look at any other printer, I want you to go to the Epson Workforce Pro. You can go to Epson.com and take a look at it. It is an amazing, fantastic printer, and I'm a huge fan. And obviously so is Lisa, because she immediately took ours and put it in her office. 4 pages in 19 seconds, 50% less expensive, double on the ink, plus, of course, you'll save on paper, too, with double-sided printing, half the cost. It's easy to use controls. It's Wi-Fi and Ethernet. Look at the size of those cartridges. And if you need one more thing, it prints from your iOS devices. Automatically, you don't need any extra software. You just select print, choose the printer. It's there on the Wi-Fi network. It will print to it just like that. The Epson Workforce Pro. Check it out at Epson.com. When they said, would you do an ad for Epson? I said, well, I do an ad for Epson. Yes. I've been using Epson forever and ever, and I'm so happy to have them on the show. Thank you, Epson. And happy holidays. And yes, buy your business a printer for Christmas. Does that make sense? Every business needs a Christmas gift. Actually, Veronica, I guess we should get one for these guys too. We've been thinking about our host gifts. Welcome to the Twit family.
Thank you.
Every year we give a host gift. You missed the fezzes last year. We gave everybody fezzes. This year
I didn't get a fez.
What?
I did not get a fez.
It was kind of the staff host, but you know what? You've been on so much. You really are family. And Natalie too, and Clayton too. So maybe I can find an old fez and send them fezzes, but then the rest of the outfit's going to come today, this year. And you're going to get it too. That's all I'm going to say.
And like presents.
Presents. We've been agonizing because the fezzes were such a great gift last year. I didn't know what we were going to give our hosts this year. And I found
he ran out of fabric, I thought, at one point.
He did. He can't make any more of that exact kind because he found that fabric, he found a bolt of it somewhere, and they're not making it anymore. It's a beautiful velvet. They're really nice.
Do you go to a special haberdashery?
We do. Fezorama.com.
Fezorama. And he ran out of the fez material?
Well,
what kind of business is he running over there?
For our fezes. He's actually, this guy's interesting. He's a costumer. He teaches costuming at a big, I can't remember the name of it, place in L.A., a very big school, design school in L.A. Fezorama, they do velvet fezzes, but our Twit fez had a particular color that he doesn't have anymore, I think.
Gotcha.
This was a very special fez. He says here, limited edition. It's the slate blue low profile. He gave me a special Chief Twit fez that's tall. So I guess they still do have them. So we'll order a few for you guys to go with the rest of the outfit. And for you, Veronica, a special dragonborn sword. She's happy. You got the dragon sword, right?
The dragon's bane.
Dragon's bane.
Does 25% extra damage against dragons.
So here's the thing. So do you go up to the dragon and hit it?
You hit the crap
That's
out of it.
That's stupid. Doesn't it just go and flame?
Yeah,
you?
So you use some resistance potions or whatever.
See, I like rain. I don't want to get close. I just shoot like a lot of arrows or I fireball them from afar.
Okay.
You go right up to. It takes a long time. You go right up to the dragon.
No,
you hit
not
it.
If you have the dragon's bane. You dual wield short swords. Schwads.
And
I'll take swords.
Do you hit it on the nose?
Wherever. You want to stay away from the tail and the head, generally. Generally speaking.
I prefer...
Business ends. Stay away from the business ends.
Just call me Death from Afar. I ain't going near that dragon. You are amazing. I want to watch her play. We've been doing this lately. Yesterday, Brian played Star Wars The Old Republic. We've been doing this lately where you play a game on the Twit stream, and I was playing Skyrim. I want to watch you play.
Sure.
You're 23 level high elf mage.
Oh, dark elf.
Dark elf. Destruction mage.
We'll figure it out. We'll make it happen.
It just sounds so pathetic.
I have totally taken over the Twit cast talking about video games.
I love it. You're encouraging me. Groupon, there's always been this debate whether Groupon is good or bad for retailers. And I guess it could go either way. A lot of retailers say, well, we do a Groupon deal and we get a lot of customers from the deal, but they never come back. Others say, no, this is great. It's been the best way. And I think a lot of it has to do with not only the product, but how you do it. So there's a baker named Rachel Brown. She owns a small bakery. This might have been her mistake, called Nita Cake Bakery. And there she is. Oh, she's so sweet. She says she did a Groupon deal where it was like 75% off. And I don't know what she thought. She thought maybe a few hundred people take advantage of it. It's in Reading, Berkshire in England. 8,500 people ordered cupcakes. She has had to make 100,000 cupcakes. And because she's losing between 2.5 and 3 pounds in every batch, she's also had to hire extra staff to send out the... She basically wiped out her entire year's profits.
It's my understanding that you're supposed to be able to set sales limits
of when course.
You work with Groupon. And Groupon should have some responsibility to make businesses aware of this kind of thing that can happen when you sign up, because it doesn't make them look good at the end of the day when orders can't be fulfilled and when customers are mad that the quality they're expecting isn't on par with what they're ordering. Because if she has to hire outside contracts to help make these cupcakes,
something wrong.
And they're not as good as what
right.
she normally makes in her shop, then everyone is losing. Groupon looks bad. She's looking bad. Customers aren't getting what they wanted and paid for. It's just a bad deal all around.
The Groupon eventually put a message on its
right,
site saying...
The quality control, I think, was the big issue here, where she said, these people have never been trained by me. They don't know the recipe. They don't know how to decorate my cupcakes the way I normally do. So even if she would have otherwise been gaining repeat businesses, maybe the cupcakes were not quite as delicious because they were not her normal cupcakes.
102,000 cupcakes.
So she's not even really going to get any kind of loyal customers unless the new people made good cupcakes.
No.
But then they wouldn't come back for those cupcakes.
Who wouldn't do this? She was offering a dozen cupcakes with a choice of flavors and designs, normally £26, which is what, $35, $38, for 6 pounds, 6.5 pounds, for like $10. Who wouldn't do that? 102.
You know,
I would do that.
She looks like a nice lady. And
she does.
She's probably someone who she knew. Who
she looks like she's working
said,
in her
hey, the
kitchen.
Is great. She get it on the Google.
She just thought it was a good idea.
Was this an online order, or did you have to walk into her store to do it?
It must have been to have had 8,500 orders. It must have been.
It had to have been online, right?
Anyway, you know what? I bet next year she's going to be huge. Because look at all the publicity she's getting. So
at least she's getting that,
yeah,
I guess.
She's getting something for it. I just think it's an interesting story.
Yes, it is her fault at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I think Groupon should have some responsibility to protect the people that they're working with in some regard. At least make them aware of what can happen.
Right.
It seems like it was someone who said, hey, this is a cool thing. You should do this, but didn't really walk her all the way through it, poor thing. So she was like, oh, let me sign up for this. And maybe she was left alone to her own devices and didn't.
On a side note, now I would like some cupcakes, please.
Is that what happened to Cake Baby and Bridesmaids? I know. Now I'm hungry. Is that what happened to Cake Baby and Bridesmaids? Is that why she went out of business?
I think it was just a recession.
I think she just went out of business.
Yeah.
So Craig...
I think she blamed her ex-boyfriend in the
movie.
She
had a bad ex-boyfriend.
With the ex-boyfriend who was helping her run the business but wasn't so great at business.
Right. He probably did a Groupon deal. Craig Mundy of Microsoft, he's their chief research and strategy officer, said, Siri, no big deal. We've been doing it for years on the Windows phone with Tell Me. So it's actually very funny. An Australian blogger did a video where he actually talked to both his Windows phone and his Siri phone at the same time. And it was almost comical. What a lousy job the Windows phone did. But I want to say it was also unfair because there are things the Windows phone will do that Siri won't do. You can launch an application with Windows phone.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that drives me crazy.
Yeah. So it's not really fair. There's different commands.
So, Leo, have you played with Dragon Go?
No. This is on the iPhone?
This is an app for the iPhone. And what's interesting, Dragon's Nuance's speech recognition technology is part of Siri.
Don't say Dragon, because Veronica's getting
very
agitated.
I was just writing in chat room, dragons, you say?
I have a dragon's bane, and I'm not afraid to use it.
What Dragon Go will do things that Siri won't. Like you could get it to launch a third-party application.
And it's just as smart, right? Because it's the same recognition engine.
It's the same recognition. It doesn't have kind of the context that Siri has, which is what makes Siri cool. But it does a lot of the things that Siri won't do. So if you have a 4S and you have Dragon Go, you can get Dragon Go to launch, for example, the Yelp application and find stuff in the Yelp application for you.
Mm.
So I've been using that on my iPhone 4 and feeling almost smug that I don't have an iPhone for it.
This is pretty impressive.
I don't either. There's a lot of good apps out there, but Dragon Dictation and the company that makes it, they have a lot of really
Nuance.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Nuance, right. I think Mashable or one of the sites did a whole list of similar to Siri applications right. that you can download for your iPhone 4, which is nice.
I think, though, that this is, initially my thought with Siri was, well, this sounds like FaceTime where it's something cool, demo's cool, nobody's going to use it. I'm starting to think that this is actually the revolution in a user interface that we've been waiting for. And if every phone doesn't have this in a year, it's going to be a big deal. This, you've got to have this. So, Craig Mundy, pay attention and beef up, tell me, because it's got to be as good. I use Siri all the time, and I'll have to try this drag and go. I think it's really surprisingly good, surprisingly interested. Yeah, it should launch apps. That's crazy. And Apple's a little conservative on this stuff. And the other problem Apple's having, which is a big time problem, is that of course because it's on every iPhone 4S, their servers are down all the time. You know,
Siri needs to work better. I hear from a lot of iPhone 4S users who think it doesn't work very well.
Right.
That it gives them results that they didn't.
It turns out Siri has to go to the network all the time, every time.
Right.
And they modified the response now. She now says, "I'm so, so sorry, but I can't help you right now." She's like really apologetic. All right.
I'm sorry, Dave.
I'm sorry, Dave.
My 1-year-old likes to, he understands how to, my
push
son understands how to get Siri working. So he holds down the button and she beeps and he doesn't say any words that anyone besides his dad and I understand. So she goes, "I'm sorry, I don't understand you." And he just keeps going, a-ya-ya-ya-ba-ba-ba.
You know, kids are really interesting because they watch what mommy and daddy do and they duplicate it.
It's true. And, you know, I feel like the onus is on me a lot of times to remember what Siri can and can't do. So when I try and get her to play my voicemails and she says, "I'm sorry, I don't do voicemails." Right. I'm like, "Well, but you do text messages. Why should I have to remember that?" Those are the little things that bug me about her.
I think Siri will get more useful, but you never know with Apple. They're a very strange company. And sometimes they don't prioritize what we think they should. And you're really at their mercy, whatever Apple does. So that's why it's good to see Dragon. It's interesting that Dragon did that. Nuance did that. They put out a Dragon version that competes with Siri. I'm surprised.
That one's been out for a while, I think.
I think Dragon Go is new, or is it?
Is it new?
Dragon Go has been out for a little while.
They had Dragon before. Dragon
Dictation.
Dragon Dictation, right. Dragon Dictate.
Right. Okay. Dragon Go is, and they've recently put out another version, that is a lot better. I tried when it first came out, wasn't that impressed. Tried it again on the recommendation of somebody, and I've been using it a lot.
Yeah. All right. Google Plus says we're going after Facebook. They've actually bought an ad. What was that ad on? With the American Music Awards?
It was on football.
Yeah.
Football. That's where I saw it.
On Thanksgiving.
It was on the 49ers Ravens game, and it looked a little bit like this. You think the YouTube would be a version of this would be very fast? They would prioritize this. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's my computer. It's not playing. One more time. Let's try it. Come on. There we go. I found this annoying, to say the least.
Such a snooze fest.
It's not. They've done so many good ads in the past.
And I think that they're still fundamentally driven by the same internal needs, the same desires.
So the thrust of this is that humans have always needed to connect.
It's not relevant to talk about certain things with certain.
But then they show the complex circling stuff, and it makes it look.
Why are all these names moving around?
It makes it look much harder than it actually is.
Once you, like, step back and get away from that, you realize, oh, these are the people that were actually there for me.
Yeah. This is, I think, just...
Epic Bros is my favorite group ever.
Epic Bros. I want to have an Epic Bros circle.
More about showing up.
To me, this is confusing.
You don't already? Leo, you're in my Epic Bros.
I am an Epic Bro.
Epic Bros, dude!
All right, I'm going to stop it, because I just... Isn't this the worst...
It's
they should have broken it up. They should have had multiple short commercials, one showing circles, you know, basically sort your friends into the groups that really matter, show a hangout, do things that are break it up. That's what, a 90-minute commercial, a 90-second commercial?
Felt like it.
And that run, it's a minute and 30.
Felt like
yes.
90 and, minutes.
Yeah, they need to break it up.
I think that it's worse than that.
It usually works for Google.
Yeah.
Normally, you know, it's a dad emailing his little girl throughout her childhood. And then there's the other one where the couple meets and they're Googling things like where to go on a first date and what to talk about on a first date. And then eventually you see them get married. And that kind of delayed reaction, what is going on here, usually works for them. It didn't work in this context. And I can't really put my finger on it.
There was no emotion in this context. Those were all very emotional ads. They pulled at your heart.
They're trying to appeal to you viscerally. They're trying to appeal to you as a person who needs to connect with other people. And you normally go to Facebook and you can do it here, and this is better, and this is why.
Here's what I think.
But it fails on many levels.
Here's what I think. I think you can blame the ad agency. You could say it was a bad ad. I think the real problem is the interface is so ridiculously complex that there was no room to show this beautiful love story or emotional ad. All of the energy was spent on the details of you drain your thing, you do this here, you press this button here, and you couldn't show it because I think that there's an underlying problem, which is this is too damn complicated. No?
It's not that complicated.
No, I don't think it's that complicated, but the way they were showing it was complicated.
They made it look really hard.
You could do that without making it look all geeky, which is what it looked like.
Right. Senator Joe Lieberman walks into a bar. No. Senator Joe Lieberman says, it does feel like a joke. Senator Joe Lieberman says, Google's blogger needs a terrorist button. I think this is what really is missing on the internet, is a button that you could flag content as terror related.
I want to stab him in the eye.
That's terror. That's terror. I heard it. Flagger.
He is just the worst. And I'm from Connecticut. And I can say patently that he is the worst at everything. Everything. And this is, I mean, I can't even get into it. I'll get too mad. It's not worth it.
He's really, he's the droopy dog of senators. Isn't that what Jon Stewart? I think
he just doesn't understand anything. He acts like he does, but he doesn't understand anything.
Every blog should have a terrorist flag button.
And really, Blogger? Come on. Blogger?
Well, apparently there was a terrorist blog on Blogger.
Okay, that's fine. So, yeah. But really, you're going after Blogger?
All the terrorists have blogs on Blogger now. It's the new thing.
It's because he doesn't know about WordPress.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Word what?
Huh? Oh, yeah, WordPress, too.
Oh, yeah, he makes me really angry.
So are you going to use Google to narrow down baby name searches?
I saw this story and I thought, oh, gosh, I'm going to have to talk about this.
Yes, you are.
You know,
you're the token parent.
There are much better ways to look at name sites. I've learned all the apps and all the name sites for baby names. And, you know, of course, you do the perfunctory Google search of your child's
name. Well, that's what they're saying. That 64% of all baby names were searched for on Google before they chose it.
Right. Because you want to make sure that there's no rapist or serial killer named that you might not have otherwise known about. So, yeah, it's a good thing to do. But I prefer Nameberry. And also the SSA, the Social Security Administration, has an app that I sometimes look through where you can save names. And sometimes, you know, on some of these sites, you can make lists and then send them out to your friends and family so that they can vote on it as if it's a democracy. But I never do that because I don't really care what other people think of my
name. My family ruined so many names because they all had like an image in their head of what that name meant. So, like, we were going to name Abby Clara. And so my mom, which I like, is a beautiful name, Clara. And my mom said, oh, no, that reminds me of Clarabelle the Clown. And now I can no longer use that name. It's gone. Strike it off. Take it off the list. So I'm not sure it's good to look up this stuff. The lead in this article by Alan Salkin in the New York Times, Kalia is a stripper name when spelled with an I. But Kalia spelled with an E-Y is not, according to her parents. They searched Google for K-A-L-I-A, and they found a bunch of scantily clad women, so they decided to spell it differently. How do you like that? I guess that makes sense. The problem is the times change.
Silly.
When we named Henry, nobody was named Henry, and now there's four or five kids. He knows he has to be Hank because they're all named Henry. So it just
ask everybody.
Everybody assumes
those
that I was.
Those vintage names are really in right now.
I know. Miles. Is there a lot of Miles in the preschool? You don't know. It's too early still.
Well, there's one other in his class. He starts
see?
On Thursday.
See? Actually. See what I'm saying?
There is one other. Yeah. Yeah. But I like the really, really old names like Bard and Walter, and Clayton thinks I'm crazy. So it's hard.
He doesn't want his son to be a grandpa before he's born. So let me ask you. Well, that's why we liked Henry, by the way. It's an old-fashioned name. Let me ask you about Miles. Was that a family name? Where did you get Miles? I have a theory. It comes from the Woody Allen film Sleeper.
I had a professor who
named
his child Miles, and would talk about him. And then Miles Davis.
Miles Davis. Okay. But you know that Woody Allen's name is Sleeper.
Miles Standish.
Yeah, Miles Standish.
Thanksgiving.
You New Englanders.
Everybody assumes but I was a baby boomer in 1956. Everybody assumes that I was named because of Dwight Eisenhower.
Oh yeah, sure.
But no, I was named for my mother's father, who was in turn named for Dwight L. Moody, Moody Baptist College, the guy who invented the tent revival. So I can trace my name back to that.
That's very interesting.
No, it had nothing to do with Dwight Eisenhower.
The chat room is saying, and I think this is a very good idea, don't Google it, Wolfram Alpha it.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
Dwight is well below 1,000th in the U.S. Fewer than 1 in 12,500 people have the name Dwight. Fewer than 200 people a year are named Dwight. It peaked, you're right, in the 50s. When Dwight D. Eisenhower was president.
Oh, check mine. I want to know.
Oh, let's look up Veronica.
I'm named after my great aunt.
HowManyofMe.com. That's a great site.
HowManyofMe. How cool.
.com. You put your first and last name to see if anyone's got that same combination.
Oh, I bet there's a lot of Leo.
Wow.
So Veronica is 295th. 1 in 1,770 people are named that. Every year, 1,097 new Veronicas are born. Peaked in 1975. Started going down after that. There are about 185,000 people with your name, Veronica. And most of them are 31 years old.
Oh, that's interesting, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're just a little behind the curve there.
A little behind.
Here's alternate versions. Fanny, Frankie. I'm calling you Fanny from now on. Ron, Ronna, Ronnie, Ronnie, or Vonnie.
Vonnie. I've never heard Vonnie before.
That's a good one. Anybody ever call you Fanny?
Is a derivation of Veronica?
I've never heard that either. I've gotten Ronnie. And
Frankie?
I like V best. V is my favorite.
Where's Frankie?
It's just easier. Frankie? I know, it's weird.
Frankie.
I think they made that up. I think Wolfram's wrong.
Now, Natalie, I'm sure, as you spell it, is probably very unique.
It's uncommon, yeah. But you can't find it on a pencil. But I was named after Natalie Wood.
Oh. Now, what do you think of this whole, they're dredging her up, so to speak?
I know the ghost of Natalie Wood has been arisen, and I think she was wrongly murdered.
I always thought that was there was something fishy there.
Yeah.
So Natalie Wood was on.
She's not a stupid drunk.
That's what everybody said. So Natalie Wood, beautiful, gorgeous actress, child actress, who was later married to Robert Wagner, famous, famous romance. And what is it, the 20th anniversary of her death?
30th?
Oh, man.
30th, yeah, long time.
She drowned. She and Robert Wagner were on their boat along with
and,
the boat captain.
And Christopher Walken also on the boat.
Walken.
Yes.
There was some
I never trusted him. Oh, they
if
were fighting?
Have a strange character on the boat, it's got to be Christopher Walken.
I would do my Christopher Walken now, but I don't want to freak people out. Interesting. So that's all been dredged up because the captain wrote it a tell-all book. Then he said, "It's not what it seemed to be. Arr. Something else happened there."
Is that what he said? Arr.
Yeah. Arr.
Right. And he passed a lie detector test.
Oh, very interesting. So I'm sure you're following this with great interest.
Not really.
Oh.
It doesn't really make a difference.
Oh, so how about that technology?
You know, my mom did. Yeah. My mom did the weird spelling. She might have used Google. She did the Natalie with an I, and then my sister is L-I-N-Z-I, even though she was named after Lindsay Wagner from The Bionic Woman.
No, I wouldn't admit to that.
Yeah, I know. So it does make, it gives us our own unique Google juice. Right. So that she uses that now, but, you know, back in elementary school.
We're having such trouble with your Skype, Natalie. It's, of course, it's so much better when you're in the Catskills, and now that you're in Manhattan, it sucks. I don't know why that is.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's Verizon Fios too. We're on Fios. Wow.
You got a backup running or anything in there? Or something going on?
I do in the back. I can give you a whole explanation, but it'll make me want to
just blame Clayton.
Jump off a boat myself.
My advice: blame Clayton. That's what my wife would do. She blames Clayton all the time. Andrew Sorkin says, yes, I was pitched to write a Steve Jobs biopic. Of course, a lot of speculation. Sony, I think, bought the rights to the Isaacson biography of Steve Jobs. And he talked to E! Online this week and said Sony asked him to write the movie, and he's considering it. Boy, I hope he does, because he wrote the Facebook movie, and he did such a job of getting it exactly right.
Are you being sarcastic?
I am being a little sarcastic. Sorkin, it's very...
He made it entertaining.
Yes, but it's pretty obvious that Sorkin does not like geeks. He's always, you know, in all of his shows, he's written about bloggers and their jammies in the basement. He just doesn't like the internet, you could tell. So I'm not sure he is the right guy to write this, but he is a good writer.
I don't know that Steve Jobs liked the internet either.
That's true.
Same level of disdain that for people that Steve Jobs had, so it may work out really well.
Yeah, right.
And I love they're saying that they're jockeying George Clooney to be Steve Jobs.
No,
that's what the article says.
That's one of the names.
That
of course,
would be awful.
The guy who played Noah Wiley, who played him in the Triumph of the Nerds.
Wiley.
Yeah, Wiley. And then of course, for some reason, Justin Long keeps coming up. Maybe because he was in the Switch ads. But the problem is, and we talked to actually Dana Brunetti, who did bid on this. He was the guy who produced The Social Network. And he said the problem is you got to decide which Steve Jobs you're playing, because the book spans from when he was a kid to when he died. So what age are you going to play? I mean, Clooney would be great for the older Steve Jobs, maybe great for the older Steve Jobs. But how is he going to play the younger? Maybe you do both.
Younger Steve Jobs, doesn't he look so much like Ashton Kutcher? That's what Clayton was pointing out.
I hope they don't.
A little bit. Yeah, I can see that.
Look at the pictures. Look a lot alike.
No, he does. If Ashton grew
a
beard.
But I wouldn't want to see Ashton play Steve Jobs. I don't need Steve Jobs, the stoner version.
You could do it like they did the Bob Dylan movie, I'm Not Here, where they had different actors play Dylan at different times. Of course, completely bizarre, but that would be an interesting way to do it.
It would be kind of...
Because he really was different people at different times to a certain extent.
Even at the same time.
Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Christian Bale might be a
Christian Bale. Perfect.
Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci.
Ed Harris.
Ed Harris. Actually, he kind of...
That would be interesting.
Be good towards the end,
It's just the baldness. Yeah.
Interesting. Steve Jobs, Clooney or Weil? Or Wiley. I think it's pronounced Wiley for some reason. I don't know why, but maybe
Christian Bale could play him at all ages.
Christian Bale is perfect.
And he's good at gaining and losing weight very quickly, too, for his different roles.
That's right.
I don't know.
Did you all read the book?
I'm about to start reading it. I had a lot of reading to do for Sword and Laser, so I had to put it off. But
I don't know how you keep up with your show. I have no idea how you do that.
A lot of a mixture of audiobooks and reading on the Kindle at the same time.
Do you read while you're playing Skyrim?
No, I don't, actually, but that's not a bad idea. I have a lot of my mental faculties have to go towards Skyrim when I'm playing, so I could listen to a book at the same time.
I think you have like 36-hour days. You have some sort of weird biorhythm. Because how do you get all that done?
A lot of amphetamines.
Wow. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I believe that. No, the reason I bring it up is that we had a discussion on Mac Break Weekly. There's this whole revisionist thing going on among really the most hardcore Apple geeks. John Siracusa, primarily among them, Dave Weiner, another, complaining about the book, saying Walter Isaacson was the worst guy they could have picked because he was a business writer. He wasn't a tech writer. He didn't understand anything that he was writing about. He focused on the human drama, the anecdotes, but completely muffed all the history and the story and didn't ask any of the germane questions. And I was thinking,
you know what?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the human element is actually what made me have to put it down, because I was in, I think, my ninth week of pregnancy, and I started to read about the mothers giving up, the biological mom had to give up the baby, and the adoptive mom was really, you know, emotionally attached to the baby, and I was crying so much.
Hey, spoiler alert.
I was like, I can't read this right now, because it was about, you know, pregnant mommies and not being able to conceive, and I just had to stop.
It's really true, Natalie. As soon as you have kids, you can no longer watch movies about children in jeopardy.
All that
stuff, your whole perspective changes, because you take everything very personally.
You just can't put it in your head.
Right.
And since I was only in my ninth week of pregnancy and crying about everything, I just said, I have to come back to this.
I only got through two
chapters.
You'll like Skyrim because you cannot kill the children in Skyrim. I know, I've tried.
No, they have never let you do that The Jarl of
Windrun or Whiterun or whatever it's called has the worst, snottiest, brattiest kids, and you just want to smack them. Actually, I'm tempted. There's a mod on the PC that you can do that lets you.
I have heard of this.
You know, regarding Jobs, keep in mind that he went to Isaacson and sought that.
I know.
And there's the question of why he wanted the book written, and it was so his kids would know him.
Exactly.
And so given that context, I think the focus on the human is kind of exactly what he had in mind when he picked Isaacson.
And I got a lot out of the book.
Another reason, though, that it's not for pregnant ladies.
Right.
You can't read and think about, like, leaving your kids behind and all of that stuff. It was just too much for me.
I got a lot out of the book, and I heard anecdotes that we'd never heard before, and so I thought it was quite good. Isaacson had an unprecedented access, and this is one of the things that irritated both Syracuse and Weiner. They said, nobody ever will have this opportunity again. Why didn't they pick somebody who knew what questions to ask? But I got to think, with hundreds of hours of interviews, and this is what I want to lobby for, if Isaacson, and I think if he cares about history, will do this, would please release those audio interviews at some point, doesn't have to be right now, you know, in a few years, to a university or Library of Congress, so that other historians and biographers have access to them, so that somebody can write a definitive history of Apple, somebody else can write a more technical biography of Jobs. I think that would be great. But I have to say, for all its flaws, and there were certainly numerous technical flaws, all of which Syracuse points out, I thought it was a fascinating book. I just want them to release the tapes of it. There is a movie going around, the Lost. My dad and saw it, of all people, and said it was great. The Lost Steve Jobs interview, an interview he did in 1995, that is going. I'm sure it's in limited release, but it's out there somewhere. There's a lot of information out there about Jobs. There's this PBS documentary from 1986 you can actually watch online. I think we're going to get many biographies of Jobs. There will be something for everybody. I think this is a great biography for people who are not geeks, but kind of are. And I think it painted a very accurate picture, both good and bad, of who Jobs was. And I think that's enough for now. And I'm sure we'll see even more down the road. I loved it. Did you read it, Dwight?
I'm in the middle of reading it.
It's a long-ass book.
I've read so much about it, I feel like I have read it already.
Yeah.
Read all the excerpts. Hey, here's who should direct it. The Coen brothers.
Oh.
That
yes.
Would be awesome.
It could be like No Country for Old Men. Except Steve Jobs, instead of having a cattle stunner, he uses his voice. He could use his dragon speech.
His stare. I've been trying to perfect that thing where you grab your beard, you know, hold your beard and kind of stare. I can't do it.
We interviewed Dan Cockey, who was Steve Jobs' roommate at Reed, on triangulation. And he talked a little bit about that stare. And because Steve perfected it while he was there. And so Dan was kind of the early subject of it. And he said, and this is you and I are roughly the same age. We both are children of the 70s. And this was very much that era. He said the stare is all about, you have a left brain and a right brain, a left eye and a right eye. You want the left eye to look into the right eye to query the right brain, then the right eye to look into the left eye to query the right brain, and then vice versa. And that way you get a full picture of the – so all this stare –
and you go cross-eyed.
You think that Steve's doing the intimidation stare. He's just trying to figure out what's going on in the brain there. I believe that. They were hippies.
Yes.
William Shatner. It was National Unfriend Day. This is a Jimmy Kimmel thing, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody unfriend anybody? I don't even understand why this is a day.
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. Anyway, William Shatner, his steps to recovering from being unfriended. This was on the Jimmy Kimmel show. I'm told this is funny at the beginning, boring in the middle, and funny again at the end. Very much like the Jimmy Kimmel show. So,
burn.
I've never watched it. I don't know. I'm not up that late.
National Unfriend Day. This is a day on which we asked everyone with a Facebook page to cut back their friends list. It was a huge.
Is this the funny part?
No. Okay. This is just the Jimmy part.
This is the
that
ad.
That advertisement is hilarious.
This is an ad. Where's the ad? I don't understand.
Oh, there's pre-roll sometimes.
But wait a minute. There's pre-roll after the thing begins?
That's weird. That didn't happen to me.
Something new that I think maybe I have two copies open. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
here.
You should have gotten the pre-roll before you saw Jimmy, but.
Or maybe YouTube decided, wait a minute, he hasn't seen the pre-roll yet. Wait a minute, there is a button that says skip this ad now. All right, here we go. One more time.
Almost 100%.
I'm going to put it in 720p.
Almost 100% of the feedback I've heard has been.
What? Tell me. Don't pause.
Why is YouTube the worst?
It does. Is it do this to you, Veronica?
Constantly.
I thought it was just me. It seems like it always like starts and stops and starts.
It's terrible.
Terrible. Here awesome. We go.
People were well, also, you got these three Skype streams coming in, too.
Oh, we got more bandwidth than God in here. It's not us.
We got that, too.
Oh, yeah?
We just put fiber in the thing. We got 35 megabits up and down, and we got another 100 coming.
Maybe this is telling you that we shouldn't play it.
Well, yeah. I know it will get pulled. It will get pulled from, even though this is on YouTube, and anybody can watch it. If I play it in our show, it will guarantee that our show gets pulled from YouTube.
We try to reverse it to see if, you know.
Well, there's one theory. We're trying all different things. There's one theory. If I play it inside the page, the YouTube automatic content recognition system won't see it. So let's try it this way.
Their page. But some people were a little bit upset because they got unfriended. It's hard to get unfriended. It's a rejection from somebody.
I'm bored. Let's move on. I don't care. Next subject. I didn't even get to William Shatner.
I told you you'd get bored.
Does William Shatner... Does William Shatner funny at the end?
He just does
marginally.
He does an homage to Star Trek, but forget it.
Facebook's going to do a phone called Buffy. HTC.
I thought Slayer was a much better idea.
Slayer.
Buffy the Android Slayer.
Slayer.
It actually will be an Android phone, heavily customized for Facebook. HTC will make it. Who cares?
They've been talking about this forever.
Yeah.
I believe it when I see it.
Oh, I believe it now. I mean, at this point, I think the details are pretty clear. But it's more.
But if it's just an Android skin, who cares? Right. Is exactly right.
Right. Although I'm very interested at how forked Android is getting. I mean, if you look at the Kindle Fire and the Nook tablet, which are Android, you don't see any Google or Android in there at all. And it really is interesting. I mean, I think Google's got to have to face a little issue by giving this away. They eventually you get to the point where it's not. You know, there's all different versions and.
Fragmentation is a huge issue in the Android marketplace.
Right.
But I think that when companies like Amazon do it right, it gives me a little bit of hope that these other companies that are just skinning other versions of Android and doing a really poor job of it will kind of step up their game a little bit. No, Heldon, fragmentation is not irrelevant, chat room. It's an important issue.
Well, it is and it is. I mean, it's not the way Apple coined fragmentation. It was really a sales spin on that. But I do think that it's going to be an issue if you've got Android forked in many different ways. I just ordered the Galaxy Nexus, which is the ice cream sandwich phone. I'll be very curious.
It's not so much an issue for end users because they don't care. Most people buy an Android phone and they don't mess with it.
It's confusing.
That.
It's confusing if nothing else. I mean,
but it's really an issue for developers.
Yeah, there's a new Android phone every 5 minutes.
Developers.
Did you see this ad? I played this on Mac Break Week, but I got to play it again. This is the Samsung Galaxy. I got to play this ad. The Galaxy S2 ad. This is just wild.
Let's check to see if there's pre-roll.
No, there's no.
And is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube. So have you seen this? It's such a good ad.
I'm so amped, I could.
I got to go full screen.
Guys, I'm so amped, I could stay here for 3 weeks.
So these are the hipsters. Guys, look, they all have white headphones.
9 hours down, and we're almost in the door.
I think 2 people just left.
Why would they be leaving when we're only 9 hours away?
Yeah, I mean, this is an event.
Uh-oh. Blogs are saying the battery looks sketchy.
You know, if it looks the same, how will people know I upgraded?
4G?
Doesn't say.
Whoa.
What she got there?
So they see a...
Sure. What is that? Phone. Guys.
Whoa.
Hey, bro. Can we see your phone?
Sure.
Can I see with my hands?
I gotta go back here. These guys, the classic San Francisco hipsters. They got the Starbucks. They all got the white headphones. The one guy's got the hat.
No, that's where you're wrong. Hipsters in San Francisco do not drink Starbucks.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's sight glass or blue bottle.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love it that they're behind bars. They're trapped. The semiotics of this are great. They're all trapped behind these bars as the normal people walk by with their normal phones. All these hipsters in line to get the next phone. They've all got the sweatshirts, the hoodies, the blue, you know, the khakis.
Have you seen this thing? Ooh. Check out the screen. This thing is huge.
It's pretty massive.
And it's got 4G speed.
It's magnificent.
Samsung? That's a Samsung.
Here comes my favorite part.
I can never get a Samsung. I'm creative.
Dude, you're a barista.
Dude, you're a barista.
Why don't you just get a 4G phone?
Yeah, it's a Galaxy S2. This phone is amazing.
Oh, God.
The Galaxy S2.
I feel for them. I just feel for them. The hipsters.
And barista is a creative art, okay?
Say again?
Being a barista is a creative profession.
I know. I'm creative, dude. I'm creative.
You should see the latte art. It's amazing.
There are international competitions.
There are. My friend Niall goes to them.
I know. But it's not creative. So here's the question. Leo, does this annoy Apple fans? No, it didn't bother me. And I'm an iPhone fanboy. It didn't bother me.
Well, the one thing is that it points something out that people don't stand in line for Samsung phones.
I stood in line. That's true. They don't stand in line for them, but they don't have to because they can just pick one up anytime. I stood in line for the iPhone twice, but I have a reason. I had to get one so I could review it. But still, I stood in line, and it was kind of a nice experience. It's an interesting experience. But the question, is it offensive?
Does that make you more pathetic than me for getting up at 3 a.m. to go to Target? To stand in line for an iPhone, it's cooler, right? Even though, like, they're both kind of obsessive retail experiences.
Oh, now I'm really in trouble. I guess you might have a point there, Natalie, if that's your real name.
I think Dwight's Cyloning.
Is it Dwight that's Cyloning? I can't tell. Skype Dwight. Has been not kind to us this. Oh, it's been 1 hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
The clock is up.
There's a bug, and there's a chipset bug that after 1 hour it does this weird thing. You got to switch it over because now you're on before. The... Okay, good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yay.
I like that ad. I do feel like it was attacking the users, not the phone, which is unusual. Even Apple, when it did the Switch campaign, didn't attack PC users. I mean, in fact, John Hodgman was kind of sweet. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't a user. He was a PC.
It seems like kind of a cheap shot, but I see why they're doing it. It's
pretty funny.
I don't
think it'll air on TV. It's a kind of a web thing, right?
No, it was on TV.
I saw it
on television.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, wow, that's interesting.
Huh. I saw it during the football games when I also saw the Google Plus on Thanksgiving.
It's amazing, all the tech ads.
I don't think anyone, though, is not going to go line up, say, for the iPhone 5 because Samsung made fun of them in an ad.
No. Or will they get mad at Samsung? That's the question, right?
Now, if Samsung gets popular...
Right, we can
mock
them.
Will we feel stupid waiting in line for the Galaxy?
Right.
Are they damaging their own line cred? What? I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Let's move on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the meme that will not stop the pepper spray cop. But first, audible.com. I'd like to talk about audiobooks. See, now Veronica's a big audiobook user because she does not have time. She would like to read all the books that she reads, but she doesn't have time. So she supplements her paper consumption with audio consumption. So when you're in the car, at the gym, cleaning house, doing the laundry, audible.com is there. And I'll tell you, that's the only time I get to read because, you know, I got the Isaacson book in hardcover. I got it on a Kindle, and I ended up Audible was the only way I could get through the whole thing. And I have to say that's really the key. Because you'll listen all the time and you can get through books and it's amazing. They, of course, have that book at audible.com and you can have it free. In fact, I'm going to set you up for two books. How about that? Go to audible.com/twit2, the number 2, and you can sign up for the Platinum account. That's 2 books a month. First month's free. First 2 books are free. Cancel at any time. The books are always yours to keep. Bill Maher, I see, has a new book with a profane title I won't be mentioning. what are you reading? What are you reading for Sword and Laser?
Right now we're reading Elantris by Brandon Sanderson, and also our supplementary book is 1Q84 by Murakami.
I'm reading
which
that.
I'm listening to on Audible.
Yes, that's on Audible. That's a long book. That's probably the only
It's like 6 or 8 parts.
Yeah.
It's like 46 hours.
It's my next book on Audible.com.
It's huge. Yeah.
I downloaded it already. What do you think? Is it good?
It's good. Yeah, it's starting out a little bit slow. I'm looking forward to to it getting a little more sci-fi, a little more weird, because I know that's coming within the next few chapters. So I just need more time to listen. I haven't been driving as much. I need to get up to Petaluma more often so I can get my Audible time in.
Exactly. Exactly. You need a job
that's
where
gonna
you...
be my plan.
Exactly. You need a job where you have to commute a lot.
Yeah.
This is absolutely a recommendation. In fact, I told Brian Brushwood was looking for his next Audible book, and I said, Brian, everybody's raving about this. It was a huge hit in Japan. The other one I'm reading is the one I'm reading right now. This will be next is Rimdi, which is Neal Stephenson's book. I don't know if you've read that or not.
I just finished that recently. Yeah.
So I'm a little. I think he didn't write this. It doesn't feel like a Neal Stephenson book to me.
It feels like a Neal Stephenson book. It's just definitely more of a techno thriller as opposed to what we're used to.
I loved Anathem.
I love
Cryptonomicon.
Or even like Snow Crash. You know, that's kind of the entry level, typical entry level Stephenson book that people read, even though it's an amazing classic. This is definitely, like I said, a little more accessible to people who maybe don't want something quite so, you know, sci-fi fantasy driven, but it's really great. And if you like video games and if you like action thriller kinds of books, it's got a lot of great elements that geeky people would love to read in a book like this.
It kind of reminded me of like Daniel Suarez Damon meets The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, God. Damon is such a great book.
I love Damon.
We interviewed him for Sword and Laser, and he's just super smart. And Freedom TM, which was the follow-up in that series. But yeah, I mean, all the jargon that Neal Stephenson uses, as always, is
very
dead
accurate.
I mean, he's speaking, if you weren't a geek like us, you wouldn't understand some of the things that they talk about in the books, because he doesn't explain them.
Right.
He just expects... No, he expects that he's speaking to an informed audience on the subject matter. So it's kind of cool in that way.
And then I also got, I have a lot of books, Ready Player One.
Also excellent.
I know you recommended that. So here's the problem. There's so many great books on Audible. It's hard to choose just two, but you only get two for your first month free. Audible.com/twit2. If you got Rimdi and 1Q84, you'd have like 90 hours.
You never have to read again.
You never have another book.
Ready Player One is a good one because it's definitely bite-sized. It's narrated by Will Wheaton, and it's super enjoyable to listen to, but it's only like a two-parter. It's not that long.
I think the reason, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Sword and Laser came from an offhand comment of mine.
You would like to think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, because I would think we were doing an Audible ad, and I was talking about we should do a sci-fi book club. And I think you and Tom were there.
No, I did. I had to go back to those early emails because we were filing our LLC for the company for Sword and Laser. And I was like, yeah, we talked about this with Leo way back in the day, but you were just too busy.
I could have been
on the ground floor, Leo.
I know. I regret that now bitterly. And I know big things are happening for Sword and Laser, but I'll let you tell the story when it happens. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, audible.com/twit2. Even if you you should listen to Sword and Laser. And I think you guys do a very good job of picking books that are almost always on Audible. I don't know if you do that on purpose.
It's one of the factors for sure, because our listeners, they take in content through a myriad of sources, and Audible is definitely one of their favorites.
Yeah.
There's Spark as well.
It's the only way I can read these days. So look at this. It's on the front page. How have you told others about Audible? Audible is going quickly because members like you tell colleagues and friends. Tell us how many Audible members have joined because of your recommendation. Can I ask the chat room, how many of you have joined Audible because of my recommendation? Just so I can get a quick count, I'd like to put that number in here. 10 trillion, me, quite a, 1, 2, wait a minute, slow down, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12, 11, 23, 74.
Ow.
Oh, my gosh.
Basically everyone.
Okay, can I write everyone in here? Let me just put, I'll put 9,999.
Can you put the infinity sign?
Infinity. audible.com/twit2. We really, really Love it, and I know you will too. And look at all the people in the chat room who've joined because of
that. I'm reading a fun book right now.
Are you an Audible listener too? What do you?
I do every now and again. Yeah.
So you're reading this one.
This one I'm reading, but it's also available on Audible.
And what
is
it
called? It's called At Home: A Short History of Private Life, and it's basically an anthropology or an artifact book about the way in which we live in Western world. And so he goes from room to room and does a history of why we have desks and tables and chairs.
It's
and
Bill Bryson.
Hallway, yeah.
Oh, I love him.
It's really
that
good.
Sounds
it's
cool.
Long. It's long, but it's a fun book.
I cannot wait. I'm putting this in my Audible list right now. Bill Bryson, first of all, is hysterical. If you haven't read his other stuff, you should just read everything Bill Bryson writes. This is a great subject. I know that Natalie's, I don't know if people know, is a massive intellectual. And you were you an anthropology major? I know you do a lot of anthropology studying.
I'm all but dissertation for a PhD in sociology.
Sociology, okay. Well, that's what this is too, right?
No, not really.
More anthropology? All right.
Yeah, it's more anthropology than sociology, but it's just a fun read.
Can't
it's a fun
wait.
Book.
I'm adding it to my list right now. Thank you for the recommendation. And here's a bunch of other Bill Bryson stuff. I'm a Stranger Here Myself, A Short History of Nearly Everything, A Walk in the Woods, which is his talk about book about writing and walking down the Appalachian Trail. I mean, this guy is one of my favorite writers. So I can't wait. I didn't even know about this. Just came out last month. Thank you, Natalie.
You are welcome.
Audible.com/twit2. You're going to see right away why two books is not enough. You need more. You need more. So let's move along to Pepper Spray Guy, who has become... This is, you know, it's really... I was talking about this at Thanksgiving. Isn't that where you have... is it unusual to have political conversations at the Thanksgiving table? It seems to me that it happens every year because we have some very conservatives in our family, and I'm a liberal, and we have very good conversations at the Thanksgiving. And we were talking about Occupy Wall Street. And one of the things that it's been an interesting social media event, right? But one of the things that's held it back is this lack of cohesiveness. And every once in a while, something happens in the world that everything congeals. And I think this pepper spray guy became the story. And in ways that he did not realize, this University of California at Davis police officer did more for Occupy Wall Street than anybody else ever. And you're seeing these pictures on the internet everywhere. Here he is spraying God in the eyes as he tries to animate Adam in that famous Michelangelo.
The internet ceiling. Works in wonderful ways, doesn't it?
It is. And you've seen the one...
Strange and unusual ways.
Where he's pepper spraying Yoda and says, may the excessive force be with you. it's been really good for the Know Your Meme website, which was, I think, started by Andrew Barron and then was purchased by Icahn Has Cheeseburger.
Well, yeah, it was started by... it was an offshoot of Rocket Boom for a long time. Yeah, and then it got bought by the Cheeseburger Network.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's separated now from Rocket Boom. But I think, you know, Kenyatta and a bunch of other people were really the kind of the forerunners for Know Your Meme.
It's really a great idea because somebody like me, I'm so old and out of touch. This way I can be hip and current with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know about Nyan Cat until like a few days ago.
Nyan Cat.
Nyan Cat, is that how you say it? See, I don't even know how to say it.
I say Nyan Cat. I've heard it said a few different ways.
When did that take off? Because it exploded into the world of consciousness.
It's a magical cat. What do you want?
I like this. The iPhone whale. And now there's a pillow.
The fail whale.
Whale pillows. Have you seen the whale text messages? You've seen those, right?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, that's cute. Oh, I didn't know that.
That's a fun meme. Yeah, that's a fun meme. Yeah. Anyway,
I need the holiday music.
This is from Game of Thrones, and so this really mixes many genres. Wow. For those of you listening in audio, you're just going to have to go to knowyourmeme.com. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Moving along.
It's easy to do on that website,
do not
for sure.
Go to that website.
You know, Leo, you talked about the conservatives. A lot of people who are very conservative don't like Occupy Wall Street. But everybody that I know, regardless of their political affiliation, loves the pepper spray cop picture.
Exactly.
They're perfect.
Everybody wins.
But that's kind of my point. Is it? It coalesced the whole thing. It was like the little when you're making rock candy, and you know you put a lot super solution of sugar, and then you drop a little sugar, and it crystallizes. It was like that. It crystallizes it. Even for people who hate Occupy, even for the 1%.
There's one on the Know You're Being Paid. One of the images is of him instead of pepper spray, he's painting black over the Constitution, which Ooh. Is probably the most pointed one I've seen of those.
Ooh. Wow. Let's see. Moving. I just want to make sure we get all of the big stories. Anything we've missed? Spotify. We're trying to figure out what to do November 30th, which is Wednesday. Spotify has apparently an event coming Wednesday, which they say is a big deal, but I can't think. Eileen and I talked about this, and she said, well, should we do breaking news? And neither of us could think of anything that Spotify would announce that would be like a big deal. Anybody here have an idea? I mean, they're already on Facebook, right? They're already part of Facebook. What could Spotify be announcing that could be such a big deal?
They could sell to Apple. That'll be a big deal.
That would be a big deal.
That's not what they would do at a press conference, though, like that.
Yeah.
When they pre-announced, right? Maybe everything's free. Maybe they're giving it all away.
You know what? That may be possible.
Chat room says movies and TV.
That's interesting.
That could be interesting.
So we had a good conversation last week, and I got a lot of hate mail because of it. We had Kara Swisher, Mike Elgin, Rafe Needleman, and
Kevin Rose.
And I was talking about Google Music, like, oh, this is exciting. Google's selling music. And everybody said, they're too little, too late. Spotify, the world is Spotified. No one wants to own music anymore. And I thought I'd ask you guys, because we got comments. People said, that's ridiculous. That's absurd. Of course people want to buy music. Do streaming services like Spotify, Moog, and Ardio make it unnecessary to buy music ever again?
I'm 100% Ardio at this point.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
There were numbers released a couple of weeks ago that show that even though it's on the decline, the majority of music sales are still CD.
But that's a lagging indicator. I think that's probably true, but that's a lagging. Clearly, CD sales are...
The projection was off in 2015, it wouldn't decline below 50% until 2015. So
see, now we're not even talking about buying iTunes. We're talking about buying a physical CDs. Plastic disc. I think that's a lagging indicator. They still sell. I think that's just momentum, inertia.
It doesn't matter why it is.
But the future is not bright for CDs.
Right. No, the future's not right for CDs. But you asked if people are still buying music.
Right.
They are.
Yes.
They are.
Yes. But I think Veronica's a bellwether. All right, Natalie, tiebreaker.
Yeah, no, I don't really buy music anymore either. I have a Spotify membership, although my husband Clayton decided that he wanted to cancel his Spotify account because iCloud came out, because he has such a massive library. So he thought, well, I could just play my own music.
Tell me how that works out for him, will you?
Yeah, I don't know. It made sense to him, and he thinks it's a great solution, but I kept my Spotify account.
Because he'd already bought everything he ever wanted to listen to for the rest of his life.
Right, as if... I don't know. And then he can buy a la carte. I don't know. That's his solution.
There is an issue.
And I thought that Spotify would make me a lot cooler and I would find a lot more music. It really doesn't.
No, you listen to the same old crap.
Yeah. So I would use that argument to say I'm still going to listen to the same crap, although his library is much cooler than mine. I have a lot of shit.
Call out a comment from Bonnie, who guessed that perhaps the announcement would be that they're actually going to pay their musicians.
Wouldn't that be nice?
So maybe that.
You know, it's interesting because there is a debate over, it seems clear that Spotify does not make money for the musicians. You get very small payments from any of these streaming services. And I said that last week. The panel said, well, they should all tour. That's how you make money nowadays anyway. But then there's some dispute over that. I think that actually musicians do make some money on Spotify. It's certainly a good discovery.
I use Spotify to sample things that I've heard that are good. I'll listen to a whole album, and then if I like it, I buy it because I actually want to own the bits.
That's what I want to know. Why?
I don't trust Spotify to be there next week.
So then you'll subscribe to Ardia.
I don't need a CD, but I like having it stored like on my home server and being able to stream it through all my devices. And I know with that format, I could do that. And I like that.
I guess it's true that if the internet
private dance parties, once you're, you know, when you're down in the basement, you don't have
exactly.
Any connection.
Well, it's true. If the internet
in your underpants. Gets
it. Natalie gets it.
I don't know how she knew. I guess it's true if the internet went down that Spotify, RDO, and Mog would not be much help. You would not be able to listen to music.
I download my music. I have the subscription plan on RDO, so I can have music on my devices, so I could still use it that way.
All right. There you go. So I'm going to ask a question of you young ladies here.
Uh-oh.
You're just about the right age. Which of you had a Tamagotchi?
Oh, I definitely did.
I knew it.
Yeah, I did too.
Have you fed it lately?
It's dead.
I really wanted. Is there a Tamagotchi app for iPhone? Because I would really like to have that.
There's Connectimals on the Windows Phone. I think that's one of the big apps on Windows Phone. The Tamagotchi turns 15 on November 23rd. The first Tamagotchi went on sale in 1996. I had one, actually. I think my kids had one. Yeah.
And they like to kill it. I mean, that was kind of like, you know, they wanted to see what happened when it died.
So for those of you wondering what the hell we're talking about, this is like a watch fob or a little bigger than that device that you would have to pet, feed, and take care of your animals. And if you didn't, they would die.
And they had babies, too, not just animals.
They
had nano babies, right?
They just pooped and pooped. Yeah. All they ever do.
And then you could choose
all the bad parts of having an animal.
How accurate is that, Natalie? Is that accurate?
My mother likes to bring up my nano babies as proof that I would never have been a good mom. She said, because I used to spank it when it cried.
Oh.
Well, I don't do that in real life.
No. So, ladies and gentlemen, good news. Tamagotchis are available on iPhones for free.
Free.
For free.
And I'm now.
Yes, here it is. Tamagotchi Round the World Light from Namco Networks. It's free. You can interact with your Tamagotchi. It doesn't seem quite the same.
I don't want it to look like that. I want it to look like a OG Tamagotchi.
You know what? Somebody be smart to make it just like a gray and black LCD.
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And I've
that's still
interest.
Pretty 8-bit.
Yep. It's pretty clunky. Anyway. That is from Namco. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to conclude this edition of This Week in Tech. I want to thank Natalie Morris for not getting up to pee even once.
I did.
Oh.
You didn't notice.
Sneaky.
I did.
Sneaky. Natalie is a contributor to CNBC, but she also has a Twitter, very active Twitter account, Natalie Morris, with an I, no E. And we just love her. And congratulations on your... upcoming blessed event, as they used to say.
Thank you. And I have other podcasts you can listen to as well. We have the trending show that I do with my husband, Clayton, which we just run down the weird things that trend online.
I forgot.
And I have a Mommy Beta podcast as well.
What am I thinking of? Of course. Where should we go to find that? NatalieMorris.com? Is that the best place to go?
You can find it there, or it's on Clayton's network, which is grizzlyproductions.tv.
Grizzly. Productions.
Grizzly, like the bear.
Grizzly Productions. Great to see you again, Natalie. Congratulations.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry we had bandwidth issues.
Yeah,
I had
it's
a
right.
lot more genius things to say, but...
That's what... I only feel bad that you weren't able to get as much in as you would like to have.
Oh, that's all right. I can do a monologue after the show if you want.
Give our love to Clayton and Miles.
Will do. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Great to have you. Veronica Belmont. I'm so proud of Veronica. She's such a star. I remember when you were a little audio engineer.
Yeah, you've known me for a long time.
Hiding behind the console at Buzz Out Loud.
Yep.
And then they had the good sense to give you more and more airtime and the rest. And now whatever happened to them? Veronica is the host of Techzilla.
Where is that Tom Merritt?
Whatever happened to him? That old Molly Wood. Whatever happened to her?
They're still awesome.
Yes, they are. But so are you. Dovahkiin. Dovahkiin. Oroxilaton.
Good at that.
When you're not playing Skyrim, Veronica also hosts Techzilla, techzilla.com, with my buddy Patrick Norton. She's, of course, host of the Sword and Laser podcast and will be joining us January 15th for a brand new show. So excited.
Game on.
Game on.
Bringing you the best in gaming news and reviews and all sorts of good stuff every Sunday night right after Twit.
And you'd think that I was going to be on that show talking about Skyrim, but no, I'm going to do a bit called Casual Encounters.
Casual Encounters with Leo Laporte. It's going to be amazing.
I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. It's such a good show. If you didn't see the beta, you could see it. We put a YouTube version up on inside.twit.tv of it. Was, I don't even want to call it beta. It was kind of a tech rehearsal, just playing with some
Of
the gear and the prompters and, you know, different stuff. But it, you know what? It came out really well.
I thought it was a lot of fun, and we got great feedback. We're still taking stories and suggestions and comments over at the Reddit, the Twit Game On Reddit, so you can add stories that you want to hear on the show over there as well. And, yeah, we're having a blast with it already, so I'm really excited for the 15th of January.
I am so excited, too. I cannot wait. Thank you, Veronica. Great
Thank
to
you.
Have you. Of course, you can find her at about.me/Veronica. Yes. There can be but one. Dwight Silverman hosts a fabulous show on Pacifica Radio in Houston called, and I never remember this name.
Technology Bites.
Technology Bites with a Y.
Yes.
And, of course, you can catch his blog roll and his posts, like, hourly at blog.cron.com/techblog. I actually review it every week to find out what are the big stories because Dwight knows. Dwight knows. Now, I remember when the iPad came out a year and a half ago, you were disappointed. Mm-hmm. Are you still disappointed?
In the iPad?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Was I disappointed?
Yes.
I think, well, that was at the launch before we actually had it in our hands.
It was.
We were talking about that.
You expected and more, I think.
I expected more until you actually used it. And you know something? That's true about the iPad today is that you still have people who are kind of traditional computer users who poo-poo it and until they get one. And then they have one and they go, oh.
Yep.
Yeah, I get it. And I think that that's really true about that kind of device, is that you actually have to lay hands on it to get it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Well, so good to have you, as always. Thank you for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you for having me, Leo.
Yep.
And I'm very happy to be part of the first all-Skype episode in the new studio.
We don't normally we want people in studio, and we thought, well, since we had – the problem is that we can't get Dwight up here because he's in Houston. We can't get Natalie here because she's in New York. Veronica, I think she was just lazy or wanted to play more Skyrim. But anyway.
Definitely lazy. Feeling lazy. I'm sorry.
I was figuring she got a pass because it was a holiday.
Yes, that's All it right. exactly.
That's what it was.
She got
Thank
a
you.
Pass because it was a holiday. Pay no attention to the fact that she sounds like she's playing a video game in the background.
No, what?
What?
No, that wasn't me. I swear.
I hear something. Hey.
Nope.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next week. Keep it up. Another twit.
It's in the can.